Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Red, White, and Rude, the podcast where the stars and stripes meet the punchlines and where your conservative Latino, me, is here to slice through the woke like a hot machete through butter. Today, we're diving headfirst into the cultural swamp, starting with Sony's latest brainchild, Conboard. Yes, you heard right. They spent $200 million on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And all most people got is a lousy t-shirt and a game so woke, it's practically napping. Sony, instead of hitting the right pixels, they've hit every wrong note, turning what could have been a gamer's paradise into a virtue signaling purgatory. And if you thought gaming was woke, wait till you hear about Neil Gaiman, a progressive god. The man who's been spinning tales so innocent, they're practically made of sponge sugar. Yet in real life, he's caught in a web of allegations that would make even the most fantastical story seem tame. From weaving words of wonder to being woven into a web of scandal, Neil's got more drama than one of his own damn woke novels. Lastly, but not least, Disney, the kingdom where dreams come true, or should I say used to come true. But good news, they've decided to hit the rewind button, swapping out their quest for every shade of the rainbow with good old classic charm. Because who wants queer characters when you can have a wholesome rewind to a time when the biggest drama was whether the prince would kiss Snow White before or after she woke up. So buckle up, people. Because today on the Red, White, and Rude, we're not just discussing, we're dissecting the heart of the woke beast. With satire as sharp as a guillotine blade, let's cut through the nonsense and get to the heart of the matter. I'm your conservative Latino interpreter, ready to translate the madness of wokeism into plain, unfiltered reality. So let's dive into the circus of a world together. Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is the Red, White, and Rude, where politics and pop culture collide, and I bring you the reality of what it means. So let's get right into it. But first, do not forget to hit like and share this, and also subscribe while you're at it. You can find this podcast and others like it, including my conservative talk, as well as our libertarian politics and our pure play sports podcast at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our social media platforms. I'm trying to think. Rumble, YouTube, Pandora, Spotify, and Apple under the profile handle Grumblings Media. All right. First up is Conboard's discordant game. How Sony's $200 million DEI gamble hit all the wrong pixels. So let's see here. So for those of you not familiar, Conboard is, again, as the title states, a $200 million DEI gamble that went bust. Oh, people, I have not seen, there was one prediction by a former executive talking about how it would take 6 months before this game tanked. And it didn't even take that long. You know, it took 6 days. You know, let me share the screen here. Where's that window? Conboard, share. There we go. There's a way to share where you don't see all the top part, but it was a game that was developed by Sony's Firewalk Studios over an 8-year period. Firewalk Studios had about 150 employees, and Sony bought them out in 2023, brought them on board. But again, they had an actual relationship with this company for years before acquiring them, so they knew what they were getting. I said 200 million, but the estimated budget for this was between 100 and 250 million. A former Microsoft executive, she claimed that she heard estimates of up to 250 million big ones. So why did this game fail? Well, culture is always cyclical. You know, we go from bell bottoms to skinny jeans. It's people's tastes change. And right now we are leaving because we've had enough of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is just another term for racism. It's hire somebody who's not qualified, but hire them because of their gender or skin color or culture, not because of qualification. And in gaming, that also means shoving characters we don't want to play as down our throats. And in this case, we are talking about Vola. I mean, look at the character here on the right. First of all, I don't know if that's a man or a woman, and I'm being serious. You know, these characters, they spark controversy amongst a lot of players. Parents are now realizing gaming and movies, they're not wholesome. They're not entertainment for their kids. They're realizing their indoctrination. And this one here was promoting transgender. You know, the big news was, hey, the first transgender character or actor playing a transgender character, or something like that. Either way, people were tired of the woke. Plus, this game was $40 a pop, and you can find better games for free. You know, Sony prioritized diversity over gameplay innovation. So there's nothing bad with diversity when it becomes part of the game. I mean, these are ugly characters. Nobody wants. Look, I don't care about how characters look, but I do care when you're shoving characters down my throat. You know, back in the early days of Pixels, I'm like, oh my God, look at the boobs on Lara Croft. I'm like, okay, way over the top. But that was a demographic for prepubescent teens. You know, when I was a kid, back in the 70s, they didn't have the technology as they do today. And now you're getting these realistic characters. And I don't care about that, as long as the game is good. But when the game is bad and the focus is shoving wokeism, shoving cultural deviancy down our throats, then I do care. And I will talk about it as I am today. Some players referred to this as a robot pronoun game, indicating dissatisfaction with character representation. On social media, I mean, it was a war. You know, it was, well, you're a bigot for criticizing my game. No, I'm not going to buy your game because I don't like the characters. Well, you're a bigot. At the end of the day, if they don't buy your game's not going to work. It's not going to sell. It's going to fail. $200 million later in the trash bin, that's kind of what happened. As I said, you couldn't tell if one of the characters was a man or woman. You know, you had an old ugly hag there in purple. You had the transgender with a big, I mean, just ugly characters. Yeah, and many people said, hey, I'm not going to buy it because of that. And I'm like, that's your choice. That's your right. I don't blame you, because they put more effort into shoving that down our throats than actual good games. This was a hero shooter type game. For a contrast, you have other games such as Overwatch, which has a very diverse cast, but it's a game that's fun to play. Apex Legends, praise for representation. That's a successful commercial game. And then you have Valorant, which features diverse agents, and it's popular despite some controversy. Again, Sony's approach to representation dealt with increasing the focus on diversity over gameplay. That's been their motto for the last few years. You can have both. You can have both. Just don't shove it down your throats. This is just the gaming version of the Acolyte. We're gay and proud. Okay, I get it. I have gay friends, gay relatives. I have a gay brother-in-law. Rest in peace. You know, I don't care. But what I do care is when you try to indoctrinate kids, and then we have all the kids. I'm not going to get into what I was just going to talk about, but it's not cool to indoctrinate. You know, so they did all this thinking that they were still going to be able to sell this game. Obviously, it impacted sales. Some players claimed to boycott the game due to perceived forced diversity. And that's the thing, is you can't force anything on anyone. You will eventually have rebellion. History, since the dawn of man, that's always been the case. Now, some did praise the inclusive approach. All the leftists, all the woke companies, all the woke nonprofit groups, all the woke, we're going to shove DEI or else we're going to scream out loud in the world. You know, nobody who actually buys the game. Oh, sorry, I cracked myself up. So This, what you're looking at is the Steam of how many players are playing. 260 players at that moment. This was when it first came out. 303, 24-hour peak, 697, all-time peak, 3 days ago. $200 million game, $40 a pop. You think that those numbers are going to cut it? No. No, they're not. Now, DEI was not the only reason this game atrociously failed. You know, God, I just can't get over that. 260 players playing right now. $200 million. The behemoth called Sony behind this. You know, so you're thinking they're going to have the marketing. And they did market the hell out of it. You know, they tried to shove crap down our throats. And that's what makes social media great. We can warn people about crap now before it comes out. Yeah, parents, it's crap. Check out our reviews, not what they're telling you. What they're telling you we call indoctrination. 697, all-time peak. Yes, I'm laughing at their failure. So, let me remove this. So, some of the other reasons for failure. Look, it's an oversaturated market. You know, it's a competitive hero shooter space, and it's dominated by established titles. Like I said, Fortnite, Apex Legends, and a couple others. I think Destiny 2 would be considered in that demo as well. Poor player retention, you know, from closed beta to launch, it never caught stream. It never caught traction, despite a good marketing plan can only take you so far. And this marketing plan didn't even... It was dead on arrival, and you build steam through betas, through testing. You know, you get word out on the street. I love a game called State of Decay 2. I play it all the time. It's the only game I play. It's the only game I have time for at night when the wife goes to bed. Before I go to bed, I play it for an hour. And it's a repetitive game, but it's fun. And the devs have focused on the game, not the characters. And the characters are woke. I mean, it's every minority, every culture will sprinkle with a white person here or there. And that's cool. I don't care. You know, and it cracks me up, especially when the Latino starts talking. I'm like, yeah, that's me there, bro. You know, so but I don't care because I enjoy the game. You know, but again, so some of the reasons fail: oversaturated market, poor player retention, obviously marketing missteps, overemphasis on the story, a lack of gameplay footage with some of the promotions. And it was $40 a pop versus free-to-play competitors. It didn't have polish, unique features despite 8 years of development. 8 years! And you lack polish on it. Or that's how it's seen, as lacking polish. It reminds me of the Hobbit game that came out. Not the one that's coming up. The one that came out... Gollum game. You know, they were like, man, you spent years working on this game? Looks like you spent a summer on it. That's how bad the graphics look. Towards some people, I thought it looked pretty good. But remember, I'm old school from the 70s. So how it all looks now is great to me. And there's also live service fatigue. Look, people are just getting tired of all the live service games, you know? And obviously the criticisms of the character design, that controversy. So what does this mean in the broader context of the gaming industry? Well, it's a growing trend of increased representation in AAA games towards diversity versus actual great gameplay. In other words, these big AAA games are focusing on being woke, DEI, getting their 100 score from DEI organizations versus actually creating a great game. And as you can see, $200 million later, it's a big, massive loss. You can't do that. You know, you just can't do that. You do that and you're going to have another Concord. So I was going to share the letter, but it's hard to read. So I'll just read it to you. Concord fans, we've been listening closely to your feedback since the launch of Concord on PlayStation 5 and PC. Blah, 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 blah. However, while many qualities of the experience resonated with players, we also recognize that other aspects of the game and our initial launch didn't land the way we'd intended. Therefore, at this time, we have decided to take the game offline, yada, 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 yada. While we determine the best path ahead, Concord sales will cease immediately. and we will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased the game for PS5 or PC. So, what does this mean for AAA games? Well, DEI is really killing the industry in many ways. And it's a situation in which, for future games, they've got to realize that there is a balance to have diversity with core gameplay appeal. How do you do that? Well, you focus on the game. And then you build characters around the game. You look at your demographic. Who's your white demographic? Look, you can have minority characters. But if your demographic is mostly white, then marketing, you market to them. But you can have minority characters. You can have diverse characters. You can have lesbians, gays, whatever. But don't make them the focus point. Why? Because that's not how life works. When I go to work, my focus point isn't on my gay friend. My focus is on the job. If my friend happens to be gay that I'm working with, so be it. That's how life works. You know, you don't have to compromise the creativity. It's funny because you'll see two things in development pictures. Pictures of development teams. If they give you a true picture, it's usually all white with a couple of specks of minority. That's just how the world is right now. Or they'll take all the guys out and put all women. And it's usually all white women. Yeah, it's funny. They force this on Americans, yet they're the last ones that actually hire these types of people, i.e. minorities, women, lesbians, gay, because they want to hire people who can actually build and do the game, create the game, not people who are qualified as Joe Biden did with the Supreme Court justice because she's a woman. You know, it's a shove that down our throats without actually practicing what they preach. And that bugs the hell out of me because they're hypocrites. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we want diversity and we want all this stuff. But then you look at the boards of these major conglomerates. They're all Anglo, old, and rich. So what's the impact? And I'm being serious. And I am knocking it. Practice what you preach. It starts at the top. Now, you can't have laws like California tried with women, I think, and it got thrown out. But you start with the public school education, and instead of indoctrinating, you actually teach. And these individuals will grow up, go to college, go to tech schools, and they'll be qualified. But they're not doing it. They're indoctrinating. So what happens? We have to import talent. So they are the worst enemies of all this because they would rather have us be indoctrinated in public schools than actually teach us or teach our kids, teach our future. I mean, look at Kamala. I mean, the woman just blathers. You know, so how are you actually going to do this economically? Or what policy here? I was born and raised in the middle class as an only woman. Blah, blah, blah. 5 minutes later, and I look my lawns to be green because that means a good environment for every. You know, she doesn't answer the question. And I'm not exaggerating with how I just mocked her. She had a speech she gave to a local television station, not speech, an interview. He asked her, and she droned on for like 2.5-3 minutes without giving an actual policy, but with just storytelling. And that happens because she doesn't know what she's talking about. And this woman wants to be leader of our nation. I mean, look at Joe Biden. I mean, what about Trump? Well, Trump was a businessman. He took seed money his father gave him and became a billionaire. That burns my TDS friends up. Because they know it's true. Well, he's super. He says, well, we're your billions, brah. Yeah, that's the thing about people. You know, well, this guy's super. That guy's super. Well, that guy's really actually a multi-zillionaire. Well, that's not how life is measured. Well, then why are you working the job you're working? Why not work a lower paying job and spend more time with the family? Go on vacation. Do this because that's not how you look at life. But that's how you want everybody else to look at life. You're a hypocrite. Talking about the board members. Talking about the elites. And I know plenty of them. You know, I make no bones. I like money and I like my lifestyle, but I don't live for money, nor do I live for my lifestyle. And it's cost me, and I can live with that. Most people are forced to live like that, but they don't want to. I'm proud that I actually have made a choice in that direction. Not always the right choice, but a choice. So when I see this crap, whether it's gaming, whether it's public schools, whether it's entertainment, as in movies, I'm going to call it out. Because here's the thing about entertainment. We want to escape life. I game to escape life and just be happy, go lucky, and not have a care in the world while I'm killing zombies or while I'm watching a movie. I don't want to be indoctrinated. I don't want to have your ideological beliefs shut down my throat. And that's what happened here. Sony tried to do that. And it backfired because people said, enough. I'm not going to waste my money on your useless excuse of a game to have my child indoctrinated. It's kind of what happened here. So what's the impact for Sony? Well, they increased the cost of a PS5 by about $100. That's what happened. You know, so it's going to affect them across the board because they're going to charge higher rates. And they pulled the game quickly. And I'm assuming they pulled the game quickly for tax purposes, you know. But yeah, it's going to affect us. The new PS5 prices have come out in terms of what's upcoming, I guess, for the new Sony PlayStation. And it's jacked up by about $100. I think it's like $9.99 now. I mean, consoles are dying, and these companies don't want to realize that. It may take a couple generations, but I think eventually everything will be on computers in some sort of way that, you know, our laptops, iPads, tablets, you know, it's going to be all consolidated that way. It's going to make everything cheaper in terms of companies having to build the game for the PS, PlayStation, for the Xbox, and for PC, you know. However, Concord does highlight the risk of big budget game development. It's big AAA games are going the way of big tent movies. You're going to keep going back to old franchises, whether it's Halo, whether it's Destiny, whether it's Resident Evil. They're going to be more scared to introduce AAA games in different genres, you know, or not different genres, but they're going to keep going back to the old tropes. You know, like I love Dead or Alive or Dead Island. They're probably gonna, I mean, these franchises that are already The Witcher, franchises that are already developed and rake in the sales. They're just going to keep making more of those, and they're going to be afraid to create new AAA big tent games. You know, so I think this is a big flub, a costly flub, and the problem with the woke crowd is they don't care. They don't understand. This is a $200 million debacle that's going to have ramifications for you woke people and your wokeness and what you want to see. You know, that's the thing about people who are woke. They don't actually support the industry. It's pretty simple. They do not support the industry now. Will they continue or down the road? So, which is why they try to shove it down our throats. But anyway. Enough of the Concord debacle. Enough of Sony. Let us go to a progressive god, Neil Gaiman. Spinning yarns of innocence while ensnared by five women's sexual assault claims. So Neil Gaiman is a progressive bigot. I mean, what I mean is he's a genius. First of all, he is a creative genius, but he's also a progressive bigot. And I do mean that he's an ugly human being, a vile excuse of a human being. He's not tolerant. He's very intolerant. But again, he's a creative genius. I mean, look at him. Look at him. That's not a man that women are beating down the doors to be with until they realize, oh, man, that guy's got a big old wallet. Yeah. So the Me Too movement has snared a leftist god. Five women have accused Neil Gaiman of sexual assaults and misconduct. And the time of these events are between 1986 to 2022. And look, for those of you who go sit there and say, man, they're just gold diggers. They just want the money, will you? You could be right. I'm not going to argue that. You know, there are claims that include non-consensual sexual acts, coercion, rough and degrading sex without consent. And some of the accusers were significantly younger than Gaiman. They weren't, he's not a pedophile. They weren't like underage. It's just, look at him. I mean, just look at him. You know, he likes him young. Give me some young me. I like that young meat.
That's Neil Gaiman. Yeah. And so this stuff came out in a couple of podcasts, one being called Master, the allegations against Neil Gaiman and my broken survivor stories. I guess that's what the titles were of these podcast segments. But there were two podcasts. And again, the Me Too movement has snared a leftist god. He's a leftist guy. He's a very bigoted person. And when I say bigoted, I mean he's intolerant. He has no tolerance. You know, the party of tolerance. Neil Gaiman is everything but that. You know, the first individual, her name is Scarlett, 23, alleged sexual assault in February 2022, within hours of their first meeting, supposedly at the New Zealand residence where she worked as a nanny. Shades of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Neil just couldn't keep in the pants. I like her. She can be good with the kids. And check that booty out. That's Neil Gaiman. Look at those curves. I like me some Scarlett. Neil Gaiman. Then there was Kay, who was 20 at the time. She alleges, and Gaiman was 45 in 2005, I guess when this happened. He engaged in non-consensual penetration while she had a painful urinary tract infection. I can just picture him. Come here, woman. Ah! Yeah, poor thing. You know, that's Neil Gaiman. I mean, look at that. That is a mug that only money or a mother could love and a woman because he has lots of money. Yeah. So their relationship began when she was 20 and he was in his mid-40s. Like I said, he likes him young. There's nothing wrong with that as long as it's consensual, Neil. Then there's Julia Hobsbawm, 22 at the time. She alleges Gaiman, this was 1986, so Gaiman was 25, somebody close to his age, made an aggressive, unwanted pass at her in her London flat, forcibly kissing her and pushing her onto the sofa. Come here, woman. Then there's Caroline Wagner. She alleges Gaiman coerced her into a sexual relationship in exchange for allowing her and her daughters to stay at his property in Woodstock, New York from 2014 to 2021. I've been to Woodstock. You know, that's obviously a legendary place. My wife actually lives near there. You know, and it was a here you go. Loves me some sex. Give me some sex and you can stay here. And then the fifth accuser shared her story on the Am I Broken Survivor Stories podcast. And the details of that are not available. Oh, man. Here I have a little bit more detail on some of these. Let's see. On K20, let's see. Okay, K, I already said that. Julia. No, I guess I pretty much covered it all here. Yeah. Oh, here we go. On Caroline Wagner, the one who lived on Gaiman's property in Woodstock, she alleges coercion into sexual relationship for continued housing access. I already said that. But claims Gaiman pressured her for sex after her marriage ended. And obviously, she alleges threats of eviction if she resisted his advances. Come here, woman. I throw your ass out if you don't give me some sex. That's what she's saying, you know. And again, so those are some serious charges. And I'm not making fun of the women, but I am mocking him because the left, they're just the party of tolerance. We care. I mean, this guy here is could be a Weinstein's brother, you know, the way these allegations are going. Now, innocent until proven guilty, but he's already paid one off, you know, and some of these have NDAs, you know. But I guess the reason I'm mocking it is it's a hypocrisy of the left, you know. And Neil Gaiman's a Mr. Free speech, you know, shut up, woman, and sign that NDA. You know, and then you have the power dynamics. He's a rich guy, you know, and these are women who are rich. Look, whether we like it or not, money is what makes the world go round. And so there are always power dynamics, and that's probably played its way here. Again, all of this is alleged. He could be innocent. So I want to make that clear. I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm just saying, one, okay, maybe two, okay, three's a stretch, but five, man, that's lots of women there. You know, so where's this stand legally? Because my first take was, okay, what's the legal situation here? Well, supposedly Guyman's offered to assist New Zealand police, but you got to remember, he's a big, again, the power dynamic here. It's Neil Guyman. Yeah, yeah, here, take a picture with me. Yeah, here's my autograph. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Little kid, hey there, little kid, take a picture with me, little child. You know, I mean, that's the power, you know, of being rich and famous. So, no formal criminal charges have been filed. It's an ongoing investigation. It's also complicated by jurisdictional issues that not all, you know, one in Woodstock, New York, the other one in London, in a flat, the other one in New Zealand. In some incidents, you have statute of limitations, evidentiary challenges, especially for previously consensual relationships. They got to discern what was consensual, what wasn't. Some women are pursuing civil action rather than criminal charges. So in his defense, this is a convoluted mess. He's lucky he's rich. And odds are some of these accusations may be because he's rich to defend the bigot. You know, Caroline Waldner, she signed an NDA. She's already received $275,000 settlement. Man, that's pretty cheap. I mean, if it's a serious, who was she now again? Let's see, Garner. Oh, she's the one who lived in the property in Woodstock. Okay, so yeah. So she, in essence, it's a he said, she said. You know, he said, say no, I paid her because I liked her. She helped out a lot around the house, this or that. You know, and for 2014 to 2021, that's 7 years. You know, all of a sudden now she's talking about this. You know, so she probably took $275,000. To me, that likelihood of that just being a money grab is probably pretty high. Though I'm not saying it is. I'm just looking at both sides of it here. You know, and there's two additional women mentioned signing NDA. So, again, Mr. Free Speech, you're taking care of business rather quick with the NDAs. Non-disclosure. You can't talk about it, Mr. Free Speech. So what brought this to my attention? Well, I read up about the industry response. Look, the industry, the Me Too industry, they're stuck. They're stuck in a corner right now. What do we do? What do we do? We cancel everybody who doesn't agree with us ideologically, but this is one of our own guys. What are we going to do? And that's what they're grappling with. Look, I saw Good Omens. It's an Amazon Prime. I saw season one. I started season two, and it's just... Not that it's good or bad. It's just season one was good enough for me. I just, nothing great. Yeah, nothing special. You know, but Guyman did offer to step aside and allow production to continue. The decision to pause production is reportedly linked to the ongoing allegations against Guyman. You know, and if my understanding, this was the final season, season three. Then there's a graveyard book, which is what I understand, a young adult book that's being, or book series that's being put in the film. Disney paused the film adaption of it, and it coincided with the emergence of the sexual assault allegations against Guyman. Guyman had no direct involvement in this adaption. And then there's the Dead Boy Detectives. Netflix canceled the series after one season. Now, that could be just nobody's watching it. You know, Netflix, I mean, they went full woke. It was like, man, we be woke and we loving it. And all of a sudden, the shareholders, well, how much are we making? I don't know. I ain't loving that. Boom, 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 boom. Tons of cancellations. And a lot of those were woke shows. Why? Because nobody wants to watch a show that's woke. As a man, I'm not, I just, next. I wish it was like these, I've never used one, but I would assume the dating app show was here about swipe right, swipe right. That's how I get my Netflix, all these shows. 90-pound woman beating up a 300-pound man. Okay, next. I just don't like unrealistic crap like that. And I also think that also negatively influences women. You know, no. It's just real life. You can't challenge your drunk husband. Yeah. He just beat the hell out of you. Yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't have believed that Netflix show showing a woman being able to beat up a 300-pound. So we have Netflix canceling Dead Boy Detectives after one season. I didn't even know that was a Guyman production. I mean, the guy is a creative genius. There's no doubting it. He's like the Stephen King of graphic novels, and he's made it big. I mean, all I knew about Guyman early on was that he was a comic book writer. And from there, he just like exploded on the scene. Again, a creative genius. These guys are quirky. They're deviants in various ways. Not sexual deviants, just deviants. They take things to extremes. Maybe he likes his women being taken to extremes. Who knows? Then there's the Sandman season two. It's a production with delays, primarily due to industry-wide strikes rather than Guyman's personal controversies. And the reason that's important is that I am, even though I don't like him in terms of his politics, his bigotry towards those who he disagrees with ideologically, I'm not going to sit there and pile on with untruths. Everything I have told you is true or is what has been reported. And the Sandman, you know, some are saying, oh, look, Sandman also because of all his allegations. No, that had to do primarily to the industry-wide strikes and no official changes in Guyman's involvement have been announced despite the allegations. You know, so again, Neil Gaiman, a progressive god, Hollywood and the comic industry's dilemma. Okay, this is why I don't like Gaiman. He loathes conservative policies and politicians. I mean, loathes them and hates us. He hates us. He would rather see us dead than to go, okay, you have your right for your opinion. You know, I don't care that he advocates for LGBTQ. So do I, in the sense, hey, live and let live. Just don't be shoving that crap down my kids' throats through the public schools. Don't be indoctrinating, saying literally pedophilia is okay, because that's what's kind of happening. Drag queen hour, no. Take your kid to the Pride Parade in San Francisco and watch a man, it's on film, on video, being given oral, then being peed on. And they're with kids right there, no. So advocating for a person's rights is not the same as saying, hey, bring kids. And Gaiman, I don't know how far he goes, but I know he doesn't care about us. Doesn't care about seeing us. If we were exterminated tomorrow, he'd be okay with it. He criticizes book banning efforts. He's okay with, instead of teaching math, here's how you put a condom on, Mr. Six-Year-Old, on the penis. We're using the banana. You know, he's okay with those books. You know, he told us, hey, you don't like my adaptions, you know, then don't watch it. Yeah, that's fair. And I don't. Now, people say, well, he doesn't actually have blanket hatred towards conservatives. Could have fooled me. You know, and again, I was mocking the NDAs because he's known for being a free speech absolutist. Yeah, and like me, he's a supporter of women's rights. No, I don't support feminazis, but I support feminist rights. The right for a woman to choose what she wants. Whereas a feminazi, if you don't work, you're not a true feminist. Yeah, it never evolved into that. It's just the ideological purists, leftist, progressive women demanded that of every woman. They actually took the choice from a woman. Because when a woman wants to be a wife or be a mother and doesn't want to work, wants to raise her kids, they crap on her. Well, you're not a feminist. Well, actually, she made her choice. That is being a feminist, making her choice of what she wants to do with her life. You know? So yeah. I'm not a fan of Neil Gaiman, but I do say he is a creative genius. And I will say creative genius have their quirks. And in this case, you know, some of these women may be after the money. You know, some of them may be legit. Regardless, Neil Gaiman, the progressive god, may wind up in leftist purgatory hell. Okay, let's close this out with Disney's wholesome rewind from queer characters to classic charm. So Disney may be shifting away from their woke crap. So Disney's reportedly lost around $900 million on recent box office flops. Those are debacles. And a lot of the movies have gone woke and they've gone broke. That includes the Marvels, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Lightyear, and Strange Worlds. So these films were criticized for pushing what some perceive as a woke agenda or progressive political agenda. Billionaire investor Nelson Peltz expressed concerns about Disney's messaging becoming too woke, arguing that people watch movies for entertainment, not political messages. And that's true. People forget that when movies began, it was during the Depression. People wanted to escape reality. And that's why they would go to the movies. We don't go to movies to be indoctrinated. We don't go to movies to be taught a lesson. We don't go to movies that have your ideological hatred of what I believe in shoved down my throat, you know? So the company's market cap reportedly decreased by $20 billion. Those are fireable offenses with those top executives. And Disney lost nearly $1 billion on film losses in 2023 alone. So I may be wrong on the $900 million on recent box offices. Some of the ones on movies I stated came out a couple years ago. You know, so $1 billion from 2023 alone. Wow. Those are losses you just can't sustain over time, you know. And the woke crowd thinks, oh, okay, that movie didn't make it. We'll do it. Try again. Well, after a while, the investors go, no, you're not going to try again, Bob. Your ass is on the chopping block now. You know, so a former Pixar, see, this is the other thing, the employees, they get all pissed off when they get let go. Look, these big conglomerates, they treat their employees like dirt. I remember working for the NFL, and I realized I saw what they were getting paid. Not the athletes, the people in the NFL. I'm like, damn. But all the big ones, look at Roger Goodell. He gets paid, what, 40-some-odd million, 50-some-odd million a year? But the working class here don't get paid much. And so Pixar found that out the hard way. So a former Pixar employee claims Disney leadership ordered the Inside Out 2 team, that's a current movie that's making a killing, to make the protagonist Riley Anderson appear less gay. So I figure that's her in the middle there. I don't know which one she is. I saw the first one, but these movies come and go now. You know, that's the thing about movies. You remember certain movies, the storyline. I mean, there were moments in time. Now these animated things are a dime a dozen. This is one that's doing well, but it's going to come and go. You know, there's no staying power. There's no 20 years from now you go back and, wow, what a classic. You know, I think Toy Story is probably the last one that Disney's done like that. So they want her to be less gay. And supposedly Disney executives reportedly told Pixar employees that Lightyear was a financial failure because of the lesbian kiss. It was a financial failure due to its inclusion of a queer kiss scene. Now, I saw Lightyear. It wasn't a spectacular movie, but it wasn't a bad movie. My whole take, if you had kept it traditional, it would have probably been a monster hit. But because of the culture wars, it got caught up in the battle. And that battle, what conservative parents said, okay, well, I'm just not going to take my kid to see it. I saw it for free. I mean, because I like Hulu, I like having the various cable networks tied into one streaming service, I have Disney shoved down my throat. I haven't watched Disney in over a year, maybe a couple years now, but when Lightyear came on, I did watch it, and it was okay. I enjoyed it. I was just like, yeah, we're so intent on shoving woke down our throats, it costs you a potential franchise and taking the individual Toy Story characters and developing them into their own movies. Lightyear kind of ended that, you know? So the company is reassessing its creative strategy, including reducing the output of some franchises and emphasizing quality over quantity. In other words, Star Wars is taking a dive. You know, The Acolyte got canceled because it was so woke. I mean, they came out talking about, we're purposely going to make it woke, to make it gay, just to shove it down your throats. Aha, it's Star Wars. It's going to sell anyway. It did not. You know? And then it turns around from being arrogant hypocrites in terms of becoming the victim. By hypocrite, I mean they went from shoving it down our throats and bragging about it, how that was the goal, not the stories. And then all of a sudden, you're bigots, you're racist because you didn't like our story. No, we didn't like it because you shoved it down our throats, so we never tuned in. And that's why it got canceled. So what's the public reaction? Contrary to the woke crowd, Disney's approval rating among Americans dropped by over 25 percentage points after its public stance on certain social issues, aka woke issues. You know, there's ongoing debate in the entertainment industry about balancing this social messaging with commercial success. In other words, you're saying, let's get back to what works and not shove social beliefs down our throat. You let it happen. Each generation becomes more and more tolerant. Democrats don't want that. They want us at each other's throats. And what's happening is, instead of succumbing to their ways, we're pushing back and I say, no. With this economy, my dollar does not go nowhere near as far as it used to under Trump's economy. That's not conjecture. That's a fact. So I can't afford to waste my money on you trying to indoctrinate my kid on crap. So the upcoming Snow White remake. The Snow White remake has faced criticisms on social media platforms for its perceived woke elements, including Rachel Zegler going after Gal Gadot, her co-star, because she is pro-Palestine and Gal Gadot is Israeli. And so there's concerns now about potential backlash due to comments made by her. You know, in fact, it's funny because there's that mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Well, you know, when I was a kid, it was always Snow White. But I think in this case, give me the evil queen. Woo! Man! And I'm Latino. I don't know. I think she's Latina. I'm not sure, but woo! Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? The evil queen, the evil queen. I'm just keeping it real here, folks. The evil queen. Woo! I can't get over that one. Yowza! At the end of the day, these developments suggest Disney, and look, Rachel Zegler, before I go on, I'm being sarcastic. I'm mocking her because Gal Gadot is just a beautiful woman. I didn't realize she was like pregnant when she was doing Wonder Woman. Actually, my version of Wonder Woman that I just said, Wonder Woman is from the 70s and Linda Carter. It's the only show where all the fathers are like, yeah, we're going to watch Wonder Woman with y'all. Oh, man. But Gal Gadot is a beautiful woman. She actually served in the Israeli armed forces. She is everything Rachel Zegler is not. And that's why I'm mocking her here. Because I'm like, you know, you want to be real? Let's be real about it. You're a vile, hateful woman who is already doing everything to destroy this movie. And that has Disney executives freaking out. Because you can't have your leading star knocking a woman, being more social. You know, it's not like she's produced hits. Her big claim to fame, West Side Story, I think, was a bomb. You know, so she doesn't realize her career is coming and going. She's too arrogant to realize it. But of course, they make ungodly money at that level. So a couple of movies and boom, she's set for life. You know, but, you know, again, you know, don't be bringing actions upon yourself that end up making you look the fool. You know, so, but regardless, all these developments, including this upcoming likely bomb, and my understanding is the Seven Dwarves look like seven hobos. That's my understanding. Yeah, I think I saw a picture a few years back. This movie's been in development hell too. I'm trying to close the show out, but I keep going back to Snow White. It's because it's like a bomb in the making. You know, it's like a Concorde. You know, but the movie version here. But regardless, these developments suggest Disney may be reevaluating its content strategy to address financial concerns and audience preferences, potentially moving towards more traditional family-friendly storytelling. Hallelujah! Use some common sense. Make what sells. Make what families want. Look, a child can do whatever the hell they want, but let the child do that when they become an adult. Let them be kids. Don't force feed them your social, your ideological, your neo-Gaiman-esque beliefs down their throats. Let them be kids. And there you have it, my friends. There you have it. Again, do not forget to check out this podcast, The Red, White, and Rude, at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our other platforms such as YouTube, Rumble, Pandora, Spotify, and Apple. You can find not only The Red, White, and Rude, but you can find my conservative talk called Fired Up on there. And you can find our libertarian, which has a great free speech podcast on there. Lemon. I can't remember his full name. His last name is Lemon. Talks about the Backpage storyline. It's seedy. Backpage was seedy, but it's about free speech. It's about our First Amendment rights being taken away by the government. It's a great podcast on our Free For All, the latest one there. And you can find our Blindside Blitz, our Buzzer Beaters, and we have more podcasts coming down the pipe. And I hope you've enjoyed this episode. We covered the Concord Gaming, Neil Gaiman's sexual escapades that have gone wrong, and obviously Disney hopefully making a U-turn back into wholesome storytelling that kids love. You know, do not forget to like, share, and more importantly, subscribe. Thank you, everybody. My name is William Del Pilar. This is Red, White, and Rude. And until next time, I bid you adieu.